Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
We've been in the book of Ruth. Last time we talked, we went over all of the different people and the first characters that were represented to us in the first couple verses of chapter 1. We talked about all of Ruth. Actually, we haven't even talked about Ruth yet. We talked about Naomi, Naomi's husband, Naomi's sons, how they had to leave the land of Judah, Bethlehem. Does that sound familiar? They had to leave that land which was promised to them because they were in a famine. And when they were in a famine, everything was dried up, and her husband freaked out and pretty much was like, "We're out. The grass is greener over there in Moab." And he took his family and he left the perimeters and the borders into which God gave him. And he took off. And in that time, they had sons. They had two sons. Naomi lived in a land of foreigners. She lived in a land of people that were evil and full of evil ways. They worshiped other gods. They had false practices. They were filled with demonic pasts and understandings. And yet, she had to go and live amongst the people that were not her people. And if you understand women back then, they had to do whatever the man said. Now, it should still be that way because that's what the Bible says. When Dan says we're doing something, I'm like, "Yes, sir. If I don't like it, I got to go pray about it, ask God to change his mind." I still have a voice in Dan's life and be like, "Let's talk about this. You know, come on. Let me give you the other side to it." But here she was. They were moving. And her two sons grew, and they found wives for themselves from this Moabite land, two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And her husband died, and then her two sons died. And Naomi finds herself in a land that she doesn't belong in, with a people she doesn't agree with gods that she knows are fake and not real. And she's amongst a people group where she's not safe, because when a woman did not have a husband, her covering was gone. Her provision was gone. Her direction was gone. Her identity was gone. She had no one, and she was going to be desolate. So apart from the position she was living in, she was also devastated with the death of a husband and two of her sons. I can't even imagine. I've lost my dad, and grief is overwhelming. I can't imagine losing two children and a husband. And getting up in the morning and continuing on in your day. And so she had these two daughter-in-laws, and they were pretty faithful to her. They loved her. Israel, on the other hand, over in Israel, Judea, Bethlehem, they were in turbulent times. They were in chaotic times. It was filled with chaos. They were following the rituals and the customs of the people around them. Does that sound like the world we're living in now? And so God would send judges to them. And as long as the judges were in their vicinity and in their world, guess what happened? They straightened up. They got right. They were doing the right thing, the right way. They were following God. But as soon as a judge would die, they would go back and they would backslide back into their old ways. So God finally said enough and put a famine on the land, and that's why the famine had happened. This went on for a long period of time, so long that her sons were old enough to be married. So think about how long she was living in the land of Moabite. So here we go. So now that you got the setting of where we're at, right? So now, out of this land, and so it was a blessed land. Judah was a blessed land. It was a land called by God. It was a land given to them by God. It was a land that God had anointed and built perimeters, boundaries, and borders for them. And yet, here's this woman broken with no provision, no identity, no hope, just brokenness, bitterness, and anger. What is she to do? She gets wind of something. Go with me to Ruth. I'm going to now introduce you to a few new characters, and Ruth being the main character. Ruth wasn't just a fable, she's actually a real person. Naomi's a real person. Bible stories are not just stories, they're actually truth. They've been historically proven. And Ruth and Naomi represent the church, us, Gentiles. You say, I'm not a Gentile, I'm a Mexican. I'm not a Gentile, I'm an Italian. Okay, you're still a Gentile. Because unless you were of Jewish descent and you had Jewish blood, why do you think everybody hates the Jews right now? It's still the same spirit trying to kill them off. There's no new demons, guys. They just wrap themselves up differently. And so they were always being attacked. They were always the ones because God had his eye and his hand on them. And so here she was. She's bringing Ruth, a Moabite woman, with her because she was her daughter-in-law, and Orpah, who was also her daughter-in-law, a Moabite woman. And the right thing for these two girls to do would be to stay close to Naomi and take care of her. Now, back in the day, you want to know how this went down? If you had a son and your son died, oh, get ready, the brother has to marry the wife. Or the closest of kin has to take care of that wife and take her on as their own. But here's Naomi with nobody left. Nobody. She's old. There's no way she's having babies unless we're having another Sarah moment. And God is calling her. She can feel the call of God. And let's read about it. Ruth 1:6-22. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people, giving them bread. So she's getting wind that something is happening over in Bethlehem again. And she's in desolate. She's in brokenness, and she's hearing the rumors where nobody else in Moab even understands, believes it, or thinks of it as anything. She knew. She knows who her God is. She never lost him. And so she hears God is doing something, and she has to be a part of it. Verse 7, therefore she went out from that place where she was, her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Verse 8, and Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go, return to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant to you that you may find rest each in your own house of her husband. And so she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and they wept. Naomi is letting these two girls off the hook. She's saying, you don't have to go back with me. Go back to the land you know. Go back to your mother's house. Go find yourselves husbands. Because when you find husbands, that brings a rest into a woman's life. It brings a security. It brings a security and a covering into her world. You're still young enough. Go and find the rest of God in your mother's house. And then they said, they cried together because they loved each other. They were always together. Verse 10. And they said to her, surely we cannot return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, daughters. Why would you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb? That's why they may be your husbands. So she's talking about the terms in which happens when their husbands die. Turn back, my daughters, and go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear a son, she's giving this like crazy analogy, right? Like this is never gonna happen. Verse 13, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Here's Naomi going, girls, go and live life because God's hand has been against me. I'm in a land I don't belong in. I have a dead husband and two dead sons, and I don't want you to be around me because God has punished me. Verse 14, and then they lifted up their voices and they wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Pretty much means, stop telling me to leave you. Or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. She is making a covenant with Ruth in this moment. Naomi and Ruth are in now a covenant relationship between them and God, and there's a connection. She has now clung. She has now cleaved to her mother-in-law, but not just to her mother-in-law. By cleaving to Naomi and taking care of her, she is cleaving to God. Ruth is making a life-changing decision. And now the two of them then went on to Bethlehem, and it happened that they had come to Bethlehem and that city was excited. Whoa, wait, what? Because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? They didn't forget her after all these years. Naomi knows God has been, just not, his hand has not been on her. She knows that she has reaped from her husband's decisions. And yet she goes back to the land that God had given her, and they receive her with joy. When you come back to the house of God after not serving God, believers are excited for you. And all of heaven rejoices because they have been wanting you to return. You see, they were excited for Naomi. Is this Naomi? And she got upset in verse 20, and she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Naomi means pleased, pleasure. She's like, don't call me that. Pleasant, I'm not pleasant. She says, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. She has changed her identity. She has now taken on a new name. She has now given herself a new name. Not God, but she did. Lesson to you and I. When we mess up and we don't feel worthy enough to come back into the Father's good graces, and we give ourselves a name of not good enough, we give ourselves a name of I can't do anything right. I'm not good enough. I can't meet the expectation. I'm used. Who wants me? This is what Naomi was expressing to the people of God. She's defeated, she's beat up, and she's bitter. And she goes, I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. And so Naomi returned, and Ruth and the Moabites, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Harvest means good work and fruitful reaping of what God's blessings are about to be poured out. Some of you might find yourselves in the same position as Naomi. You're not good enough. You feel weird sitting in church right now. You don't even know why you're here. I'm here to tell you, you're here because God has seen you in the land of Moab. God knows your name. And God is waiting patiently for you to hear that he's doing something in his church, and for your heart to go, oh, I gotta get there, because that's the only answer, the only place, and the only refuge that I will ever know. You see, Naomi and Ruth both were beat up. We know Naomi feels the bitterness of God towards her, but yet Ruth, who is this girl? This woman who does not deserve to be amongst holy people. This woman who is a Moabite woman, who knows demonic practices and demonic ways. This woman who does not have the favor, nor the name, nor the lineage, or the bloodline of the Jewish people. Walking into a territory that she may never be known, she may never know, be seen, that she knows that she has left everything behind. Why? Why would she do that? Why would she leave her land, her comfort zone, what she knows? Because while she was with Naomi all those years, she heard about a God. She heard about the great I Am, who promised his people, who brought them through the land that had nothing and fed them with manna, fed them with birds every day. He came and he provided water for them. He split Red Seas and he took care of them. He brought them through the hardest places. And she said, I know that what they're saying is real. And her heart said, I'm leaving everything behind to follow everything that I know to be true. We have two women walking in to the land that was promised to God's people with different circumstances, but walking through the same grief. And God is about to show off to these girls. I want to talk to you today. What are you bound by? What has you? Is it your culture? Is it how you were raised? How my family does things? Is it what someone told you or spoke over you at school? Is it what someone has told you you're not good enough? Did somebody take your innocence from you before your time? Do you feel like a piece of meat? I'm here to tell you you're not. I'm here to tell you the God of heaven, God of angel armies, the one who rescues and restores is running after you. And that you are valuable to him. And that just like these girls, that if you will seek the face of God, that those demonic strongholds, those things that have you bound, will be stripped, will be washed, will be ripped off of your life. And the power of God will be released over you. And you don't have to continue living the way you have lived. And the generations that come after you do not have to live the way that you had to live. And you can break the things that Satan has put over families and over places and over countries. That's what we're seeing, church. But if the church of God would rise up, and if we would come back to our borders, and if even though we come back, we're broken. These girls were broken. Grief paralyzes you. It gives you fog brain. It makes you mean. But yet they knew they had to get back into the presence of the borders and the boundaries of what was safe. So come to the house of God. Come to the house of God broken. Come and not be okay, because he will make you okay. Come because God is calling his church home. This story is a typology of Jesus in the church. It's a reflection of God with us in humanity. What has you bound and what do you need to be free from? Because he wants to free you as he wanted Naomi and Ruth to be free as well. To live free with Christ requires me to start by, number one, responding to God by showing up. Satan will do everything in his power to keep you busy. He will do everything he can to keep you offended. He will do everything he can to switch your thinking. He will do everything he can to keep you out of the house of God. He will do everything he can to keep you out from the presence of the Almighty. He will distract you with sports. He will distract you with toys. He will distract you with your job, giving you more hours than you know what to do with. He will distract you so much so that you call it God because God gave me this job, or God blessed me with these things, or God has gifted us in sports. And I'm here to tell you, anything before God is robbing you of your connection with the only thing that matters when you leave this earth. It is time for the church to teach our children that God is a priority again. How do I do that? What are you talking about, Pastor? You did it tonight. Even though you worked all day, even though maybe you didn't eat dinner, you just said to your kids by coming to the house of God that God is that important. And that we'll catch up tomorrow and we'll make it right. But we need to get into the house of God because mom and dad need a word from God to keep going and to keep being Christians like he's called me to be. You see, we got to teach our children and train them up. And so responding to God means showing up for God. You say, well, God didn't show up for me. Where was he when so-and-so hurt me? Where was he when my husband divorced me? Where was he? Well, where were you with God? What were you doing? You were doing your own thing, asking God to bless you. It doesn't work that way with God. God tells you how to do it his way, and then in his way, in the land of borders, perimeters, and blessing, then you reap the blessing. So many times I hear, oh, but God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. Did you know God will love you all the way to hell? Because he made a way for you not to go to hell. He gave everything for you. Now all you have to do is reach out to him and take a hold of him. But you've got to show up. You got to show up. If I have a party and I have friends and I invite everybody over, right? And they don't come, guess who doesn't get invited to the party next time? Now listen, unless there's something that happened, like obviously, and they've talked to me about it. But if they don't keep showing up, guess what happens? The invite stops happening. Because I get the point. God is not stupid either. He knows your heart. That's right, he knows it. And he knows that you've put other things before him. And that you've decided to show up for the boyfriend or the girlfriend. Or you decided to show up for that movie. Or you decided to show up for that party because it was more important than getting into the house of God, getting your spirit man healed and whole. You see, God is saying, show up, church. We have a church that says that they don't need the ecclesia, the house of God, but I'm here to tell you that is not true. Because the church is God's idea, not ours. God established church. Why? Because he wants us to be together. Why? Because when we show up together, iron sharpens iron. Guess what happens when two irons clash, right? Sparks fly. Woo, we make each other mad because we're different. And God says, okay, now come into the house of God and let your sparks fly. And I'm going to give you my word to put in the middle of that so you all know how to handle conflict. So you all come above the problem instead of run away from it and call it your oh, it's my boundary. See, we don't even show up to hear what God has to say about these things. And we call everything God, but God is saying, I need you to show up so you understand my word, so you understand that when you show up, there's a blessing for you who show up. There's a blessing for those that do things God's way. There's a blessing. There's an increase, and there's a capacity that will fall on your life when you show up for God. Naomi heard it. She got wind of that in Moab, and she was like, I got to go. I'm out of here. She was like, I'm running. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't know about you, but I was the rankest sinner, and when I touched the flames of hell, I never want to return back to it. Because I have been there, done that, and I never want to smell the singe of that again. Because I need the power of God in my life. Naomi knew it. She's heard and seen the wrong, and she wants the right. It says that she heard that he was giving bread to people. Woo! Bread, what does that mean? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus himself refers to himself as the only one that can nourish humanity. The only one that when we partake of what God is giving us and we allow him to fill us, something begins to happen in our hearts, in our minds, that unlocks some supernatural things that will flow out of us into this dark and dying world we live in. But I've got to reach out. I've got to show up to get the bread. If I'm having a party and I'm going to feed you, you better show up to eat. You better show up to eat. And I know that's true for the Hispanic people. Because I have eaten and then they've invited me and they make me still eat more. And I'm like, okay, mija, please, please. I'm like, okay, I can't eat anymore. But it's a blessing, it's a love, it's a tenderness. When you feed someone, what is that? That's you giving a piece of yourself. And God is giving a piece of himself back to Israel again. He's lifted the famine and he wants to bless them. And God wants to bless us, church. You see, God showed up for them in Exodus. Exodus 3, 16 through 17. I'm not gonna read it for time's sake, so if you are taking notes, go back and read it. Talks about how he's watched them closely and he's going to provide for them. And then he speaks in the New Testament to us, the Gentile church. How many Gentile church members do I have here? Amen. And he says in Luke 1:168 through 69, it says, "Praise the Lord, God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David." This story that we're talking about, this woman that we're talking about named Ruth, is now the new lineage of Jesus Christ. She is the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. This foreign woman who wasn't even favored, this woman who was a widow, this woman who did not belong, but God said, oh, I'm gonna take her. Because her heart is hungry for my bread. And I'm gonna bless her and I'm gonna connect her with the kinsman redeemer. And I'm gonna give her a new name and I'm gonna give her a new destiny and I'm gonna bring new life to her. And out of her is gonna come life. Out of her is gonna come the name of Jesus. Out of her is gonna come the only one that can save. The only one that when his blood was shed on that cross wipes away our sin. His name was Jesus, and it all started with this young woman named Ruth. Who are you in God's eyes? You are in the lineage of God's family. You are his children. And every day God shows up for you. And every day I'm asking you, church, to begin to show up for God. Show up in your prayer time. Show up in shutting thou upest. What does thou mean? What does that mean? It means shut up when you want to scream at each other and be mean to each other. When you want to go off on people online, you know, you're just so big and bad behind the keyboard. Go tell them to their face, like the Bible says. The Bible says, go to your brother if you have a problem with them. Make it right. If you can't make it right, you go get somebody to come with you. If you can't do that, then you go get a pastor and you help, and we will help be the judge between that. I'm just paraphrasing. But you see, when you show up, you will know that. You don't put yourself in a position of sin. You put yourself in a position of rest because you've now showed up for your Creator. God wants you near to him. James 4:8 says, come near to me. Come near to God and he will come near to you. You say, but God's got to come near to me first. No, God already did everything for you. It's now your turn. And he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. That means it's a choice. You got to let go of sin. Purify your hearts. Make a choice to purify your hearts. You double-minded. You cannot be part of this world and part of God. That is a double-minded person. And God says, let that go and come after me. Those things will have you bound. Orpah decided to go back to her gods. Never again was her name mentioned in this book again. But yet Ruth's name has been preached across nations to this day because she's a woman of God and she chose God. If you want to be free, number two, Christ, if you want to be free in Christ, it will require you to start by clinging to God and repent. Ruth 1, 14 through 18, and then they lifted up their voices and they wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, Ruth, but Ruth clung to her. It goes on, and Ruth says in verse 16, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you nor turn from you or from following for you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. I will do so to me and more also, if anyone but death parts you and me. That when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking. Naomi knew that Ruth had made her mind up. Naomi knew, oh man, this girl, there's no talking her out of this. All right, I guess we're going. Have you ever had I have a kid that is very aggressive. I was the kid that was like, hey, 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 hey. My siblings would be like, how did you get mom and dad to do all that? I'm like, I just bugged them. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Ruth was like, nah, this is what we're doing. This is what I've decided. You can't talk me out of it. So Naomi was like, fine. You know, I would like to think that Naomi was so broken and just so hungry to get back into her land that she was like, I don't even care anymore. Come on. And so here's Ruth, and she clung to him. This is a true display of godly repentance. You say, how is that, Pastor? Because Ruth's response required determined courage. Her response to Naomi determined that she was saying no to her old life and yes to a new life with Christ. That means that she was leaving her old ways and she was repenting of them and she was turning to new ways and she was being washed by the blood of the Lamb and she was being renewed in her mind and her soul. All because of one beautiful word called repentance. She was a display of loyalty. And God responds to people that are loyal. God responds to people that are loyal. You can look around this church, and I've had people criticize Deanna and I. Why are your kids so good? Well, I don't know. Maybe I was just loyal to God. Because I really don't deserve good kids. I was a mess. I wasn't good myself. If we reap what we sow, man, I should be really messed up right now. But there's a God in heaven who's faithful, and I just chose to follow him, broken and a mess. But I said, I believe you, God. And then I read his word, and I said, well, how do I raise my kids? Okay, I'm going to do what his word says. And I just heard what God's word said, and I did it. Guess what happened? I ended up having good kids. What about a marriage? Marriage is hard, Pastor. Yeah, it is hard. But guess what? I'm loyal to that man. I don't put myself in situations I can't handle. And neither does he. And if he does, I will knock him out. I'm the tough one. I'm the big mouth. He's the quiet giant that just tells me no. And I'm like, okay. This is a true display of loyalty. But because you're loyal, you do repent. I'm always talking to God and repenting daily. Did you know that? Your pastor. Yes. Because I think some crazy things that go on in this head. And I'm like, that was not very nice. I need to repent. Was that gossip, God? Forgive me. Lord, did I make the right decision in that? Probably not. I was moved by my flesh. God, I'm going to go back and adjust that. I'm going to help me to do this the right way. You see, repentance needs to become a pattern in a Christian's life if we want freedom. It's not a one-time thing when you say yes to Jesus. It's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing, me coming to God and going, hey, I need you to help me. I live in a world of God help Because I'm not good enough, but you are. And Ruth knew this. And Ruth ran from her old life and said yes to God. It cost her everything. She even said, I will die in that land. You, by saying yes to God and repenting before him and staying loyal to him. Guess what happens? You are going to die one day, but your spirit man will live forever in eternity with Christ. And she knew that she would live on, but she knew she had to live on with the one who counted, who loved her, who called her home. Church is the story of us and God. She came to him in humility. She clung to Naomi. To cling means to adhere, to catch by pursuit. She went after Naomi. Naomi tried to get her away, but she was like, no, I'm gonna hang on. Have you ever had little kids? I remember those fun days. And you'd be like trying to get somewhere and they'd be like dragging on your leg. And you're like, seriously, I have to go to work. Don't go, mommy, don't go. And I would just cry. I would cry when I got in the car because I had mom guilt. And I'm just thinking about that. We have to be like that with God. Like, don't leave us, God. I want everything. I want all of you. She clung and she was adhering and she was pursuing to catch what God was giving. Repentance puts you in a position to receive all that God has for you. It was an example that was so beautiful. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. Oh, I'm late. I probably should stop. Now I'm glad that I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. Woo. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have so that you were not harmed by us in any way. For that kind of sorrow God wants us to experience. It leads us away from sin and the results, and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Have you ever been caught in sin? Whew, my favorite, I probably messed up my lipstick right now. And when you get caught up in it, you get caught. There's a difference between getting caught and actually repenting. Has somebody been caught and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, because you know that's what people want to hear. But you should be so broken by your sin that you come and confess it. And bring it. And that's what he's talking about. Worldly sin does not do that. Worldly repentance lacks it. Worldly sorrow lacks repentance. It results in your spiritual death, is what God says. But just see what the godly sorrow produces in you. Such earnestness, such concern to clear yourself, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal and such readiness to punish the wrong. You showed that you have done everything necessary to make things right. Ruth showed us a beautiful picture of what repentance does. It clings to what is good. It opens doors of favor in our life. You may be at a crossroad in your life where you have to repent before God. You say, but I got to get this right, Pastor. I'm too much of a mess. I'm here to tell you today, you will never be able to fix you. No human on this earth will be able to fix you. The only one that can is the one who created you, and his name is Jesus. So you should repent and come to him. Repentance will look like him asking you to let go of your pride. Because nobody in this room has pride, right? Repentance will look like, for us girls especially, letting go of our insecurity, which is pride, because we're still looking at ourselves. Repentance will ask you to get rid of your old habits, to watch your mouth, to let go of what has you bound, and to bind yourself to Christ. This all will keep you. When you walk away from your old ways, you will find freedom. You cannot move into your future when you are anchored to your past. Repentance will bring freedom for you in your future. Some of you tonight, you got to repent. There needs to be a time of repentance, a time of coming back to God. I have a point three, but I'm going to have to do it next time. And boy, let me tell you, it was my favorite one, so you're going to get it good because now I get to study it longer. So we'll pick up in Ruth 1:19-22. If you got something from the word tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk with some of you tonight. We talked about coming back to God and showing up for him. We talked about repentance. You say, well, how can you be talking to Christians about that, but I don't even know who God is? Well, Christians have to show up to be with God every day, and we have to repent every day. But if you are not a Christian, this is your opportunity for the first time. There's a God in heaven who absolutely loves you, who cherishes you, who knows you, who sees you, who is waiting for you to respond to him tonight. I'm gonna ask everybody to just sit down for a second. Don't go anywhere. And if you have been in sin and running your life your own way and doing things in your own ability, tonight I want to give you an opportunity to step into and to show up for a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. That means the only way to get to Jesus, to God, is through Jesus. To believe that he is the one true God, that he is your salvation and he is your rescue, spotless lamb. He came and he wrapped himself. He took off deity of God and he wrapped himself in flesh. And he knew his purpose was to come and to put himself on that cross to be broken open for us, and that his blood would be the price that would be paid for our sins. And your sin and my sin put him on that cross. But he went on that cross and he said, nobody take my life from me, but I lay it down. Because he saw us, he knew us, and he sacrificed his life. So in this very moment, that in your brokenness like we talked about tonight, in those things that have you bound, you can be free from. All of that comes when you say, I need a relationship with God. When you say yes to Jesus, it isn't just a head knowledge. It's not just an understanding. Did you know Satan knows who God is? Satan knows who Jesus is. The demons know who he is and believe in him. They know he's the one true God. So it's one thing to know him, but it's another thing to have a relationship with him, to invite him to come and be one with you in a relationship, to talk with you daily, to enjoy his company, to reap from the blessings of heaven, to strengthen you when you aren't strong enough. He's there for you. And so tonight I'm offering this free gift called salvation through Jesus Christ to you. If you were to walk out of this room tonight, you were to get hit by a car or have a heart attack, where would you end up? Would you open your eyes in heaven or would you open your eyes in hell? Say, well, I hope, I think maybe I would wake up in heaven. Well, you better not hope, think, or maybe your way into heaven. Tonight, you need to make sure that you're gonna make it into heaven. If you have never asked Jesus to come and be the personal Lord and Savior of your life, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. Now, I'm talking to another group of people in this room that at one time in your life, you did serve God. In fact, you told God, I will live my life for you. And yet you went and lived your life for yourself. You were like the double-minded person that we talked about. And you're living between two worlds, one with one foot in the world and one with one foot in God, with God. And Jesus talks about this in Revelation. He says, you're either hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. You say, wow, that's kind of gross, harsh words, Pastor Jess. God was giving a picture, showing you how serious he is about your commitment to him, you showing up for him, because he already showed up for us on that cross. And that cross did everything for us as Christians. It is our victory, it is our authority, it is the power and the blood of Jesus that covers us and makes a way for us daily. But if you've walked away from him, if you've lived a lukewarm life, God is calling you back to your borders and back to the boundaries of God. Leave your old ways and come back to your borders as Naomi did. So tonight, this is how it's gonna go. I'm gonna go 1, 2, 3, and I'm gonna bang my hand on the pulpit. When I do that, I want you to raise your hand. Say, why do I have to raise my hand? Aren't you one of those churches that like bow your head, close your eyes? We aren't. We're kind of bold, we're in your face because Satan is out there trying to take you out. And we wanna help you be strong and courageous so that you can say, yes, I am saying yes to God then. And I might be shy, but God, I need you. So Lord, give me the courage to stand for you in my first commitment. I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand. What does that do? The Bible says that if you confess me before man, this is Jesus talking, I will confess you before my Father when you get to heaven. But if you deny me before man, then I will deny you before my Father when you get to heaven. So right now, when you say yes, and I see your hand, and we will pray a prayer together to invite Jesus, guess what? We are now in an understanding and a connection and a unity in helping you invite the King of the universe to be your Lord and Savior. So get ready if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life on the count of three. And if you've been running from God instead of to God and you need to come back to the Lord, get ready on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hands and keep them up so I can see. I'm gonna start over here. I see that hand. 1, 2. Anybody else? Okay, keep going in this section. Anybody need to get right with the Lord? 2. Help me out, ushers. 3. I see that hand. I don't have my glasses on, so I need you to kind of wave at me. 4. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'll wait for you guys. I'll wait for you. Anybody else over here? Wave your hand at me. Yes, I need to get right with God. I need to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anybody in this section? Anybody, anybody? Anybody over here? Say, yeah, that's me, Pastor. I want to give my life to God today. I want to go full blown for him. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is what I'm going to do for time's sake. I'm going to ask one more step from you. Will you come and meet me? Will you take a bold stand and come meet me up front? Get your sweater, your coats. Bring a friend if you need a friend. And we will pray together here at the altar. And listen to me. If you say, oh, I should have done that. I need to make that commitment. You come too. Just come. Just come, because God is calling you home. This is your time. Do not walk away from what God has for you. Just come. Just come. Come right now. Don't miss this opportunity. You're not promised tomorrow. Please do not leave while people are coming forward. Just come. Nudge your neighbors, guys, and say, hey, I'll go with you if you need to go. Come on, come on, come on. New beginnings. New land for you to see. New blessings for you. A new future, a new hope in Christ. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, come on. We'll wait for you. If there's a stirring and you're like, oh, I wish you would stop talking. I'm talking to you. God is calling you home. God gave me a number when I was praying today. This is not the number. And he said, they're going to be stubborn. And he said, tell them they may not have another opportunity. And that it is my mercy that is stopping them and stopping the service for them. I knew this would happen because he told me it would. I don't know who you are. I don't know what kind of life you live. I don't care. There's no judgment. I do know the God of heaven who loves you. He said, it's men. Lay your pride down. Let it go. Come. God wants to bless you. He wants to bring favor in your life, but he cannot until you respond. Maybe you haven't done things for the right way. God is saying, come home. He'll teach you how to do it the right way. You've never had a father. He is going to show you what a true father is. But you got to start by responding. Don't treat God like you have treated your dad here on this earth. Come, just come. As Zacchaeus sings, just come, just come. Five men in this section. I don't know who you are, but you think you're right with God, but you're not. You're not. And you're questioning, am I? Am I okay? He said, make sure. Make sure. Make sure. Pray for you. Whoever you are, I want you to know that you can come back when you're ready. And I asked God to spare your life until that day. But for all of you that came today, wow, a whole new life with Christ, a whole new destiny, a whole new purpose, a whole new goodness that heaven wants to pour out on you. And it's such a beautiful relationship with God. So the first thing you gotta do is you gotta invite God to come and be in your life. He's a gentleman. He's not gonna berate his way in. It's not like a formula. It's not like this, like if you do this, then you get this. That's not who God is. God is just truly personable and wants to be in a relationship with you. And so this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna pray and you're gonna repeat after me, okay? And if maybe you miss some words, it's okay. It's not about the words of our mouth. It's about the attitude of our heart. It's a heart posture, okay? And so we're all gonna pray with you. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. I say, dear Father God, I come before you tonight, a sinner in need of a savior. And I ask that you would come into my heart tonight and be the Lord and savior of my life. I believe that you are the one true God, that you died on that cross so that I can be clean and washed away from sin. Tonight is the night that I leave hell behind and I'm headed for heaven. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and teach me your word. Come and show me your ways. Reveal yourself. Show me you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woohoo! So exciting. Listen, guys, if you will give us 1 year of your life, keep coming to church. Remember the first point? Respond to God. You did good. You responded. Okay? Now, there's a journey. What do you do now that you're a Christian? What does this look like? How do I do this? Who is God? We don't want to leave you out there with all those questions. We don't want to leave you alone. So we give away friends here at The Rock. And they're called spiritual personal trainers. They're called, what are they called? What do you call them? Faith-filled friends. Dan has a new name for them. And so they will sit with you and they will go through discipleship with you and they will be a friend to you before services. So if you don't know anybody, somebody will connect with you and teach you and show you the ways of God. And then they will let you right back in. But this is Pastor Joel. So if you go with them, they want to pray with you really quick because you don't want to start your life just, oh my goodness, they're going to pray with you personally. They're going to love on you and introduce you to that. And if you need a Bible, they will get you a Bible tonight. Okay. So this is Pastor Joel. Please turn and go with him and he'll let you right back in. Your friends and family will wait for you.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at The Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally. You don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.